Thank you so much, y'all, and thank you for making this such a special day for Bryn and being up here and singing with her and for her, and that's really, really special. Plus, it takes all the pressure off the preacher. I don't have to be any good today. Everybody's going to go home saying, weren't they great? That Nelson family, weren't they great? A few years back, Dr. William Willimon was the chaplain of the university at Duke University. He spent some years doing that, and among the things that were part of his responsibilities is every Sunday he led worship services on the chapel there on the Duke campus. And he was used to seeing folks come and go. He would see students and they would show up. He might see them once, he might see them twice, and then some would leave, but then there were some that were there every week. But one year there was this young man named John, and John really captured his attention. At first he came every now and then, but then he started showing up every Sunday. Every single Sunday he was there. And by the end of the year, not only was he coming to worship every Sunday, but he was serving as an usher there at the chapel. He was greeting people as they arrived and helping folks find seats and just kind of taking time to talk with them and visit with them. And he really was a great ambassador for the chapel. One day, Dr. Willimon was walking across campus, and he ran across John, and they had time to have a good conversation. And so Dr. Willimon said, well, John, you know, I noticed that you're there every Sunday. You have really gotten active and really gotten involved in the chapel. Yes, sir, I have. And he said, I noticed that every Sunday you're serving as an usher, and I noticed you really take time to talk to people and greet them and let them know how glad you are that they've come to church that Sunday. He said, I sure have. And he said, I'm just kind of curious, what is it about the Duke Chapel that appeals to you so much? He said, is it the music? Do you like the music that we're singing? And does it just really set your soul on fire? Does it get you ready to worship? And he said, yeah, it's good. And he said, so is it the service itself? Do you like the way the service goes? And does that mean a lot to you? And he said, oh, yeah, that's nice. Dr. Willimon kind of brightened up, and he said, so it must be the preaching. You have to come every Sunday because the preaching is speaking directly to your soul, and you can't go a week without listening to the preaching. Yeah, the preaching's nice. Finally, Dr. Willimon said, well, John, I just need to know, what is it? What is it that draws you to church? What is it that has you here every Sunday? What is it that makes you want to be an usher and meet people and talk to them? And he said, well, Dr. Willimon, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I got to be honest with you. I have found out church is a great place to meet girls. And it may be, guys. But it does bring up a question, doesn't it? And the question is, why do you come to church? Why do you come to worship? What is it that draws you, whatever age you may be, to get up on Sunday morning, to come down, and to be part of what God is doing here at First Baptist Church? Some people have some really good reasons to come because the music does speak to their souls, because they love being part of the fellowship, because their Sunday school class means so much to them, because the worship and the gathering around the Word means a lot. Others may have motives that are not quite so pure. It may be that some come because they want to meet particular people. There may be some who come because they think it's a good business move to be seen in church. There may be some who just think, I want other people to see me when I'm here at the worship service. Some may say, I'm at church because that's my duty. It's Sunday, I'm supposed to get up, I'm supposed to go to church. That's what I've always done. I'm not sure any of those reasons will really make worship work for you. This morning, as we go through a series of four or five of what I'm calling power passages, short verses of Scripture that speak to us in clear ways, this one talks about Paul and his own goal in worship. Paul makes it simple. This is what he says. You come to worship so you can have an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. I come to church because God does something for me in worship that I desperately need to take place in my life. In fact, in this scripture, the Bible gives us four key decisions you need to make if your worship is going to be real. If I ask you the question this morning, why are you at worship and you're not exactly sure? I want to suggest there's four things that always happen when you make this a priority in your life, according to what Paul tells us to do. So let's jump in. Let's discover what the Bible tells us in these few verses in Philippians chapter 3. The first thing he says is this. He says, worship and expect an encounter with Christ. The way Paul said it is this. He said, that I may know him. Not hear stories about him, not discuss him, not be around the people who love him, that I may know him in a personal way. Here's my question for you this morning. What would happen in your worship life if every time you came to church you expected to meet Jesus there? What if every time you walked into this sanctuary or any sanctuary anywhere and you thought, when I walk into that service, I'm going to have an encounter with Christ. I will not be the same person when I leave that I was when I came in to worship today. What if you believed by coming to worship, you were going to discover the Lord had something planned just for you? And maybe if you were paying attention, there would be one sentence in the message, one phrase in the scripture, one verse in a song, and God would take that and say, this is for you. And it's almost as though God put it in the Bible just for you that very morning, because God is speaking to you. If that were true, then you would be so eager to get to worship on Sunday. I can't wait because God has something waiting for me there. I can't wait because it's going to be something I desperately need to hear. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul lived in anticipation of an encounter with Christ. He said, here's what's going on in my life. I hunger that I may know him. Those encounters with Christ had been a very real part of Paul's life. It's how he got saved. He encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road. It was how he had followed God's call to go to the nations when the Lord spoke up and said, set apart Paul and Barnabas for me. It was a spirit of anticipation that drove his faith. Paul believed God is ready to do something. Today and today and today. God is ready to do something in my life. You know, in his day, the Jews would greet one another on the streets by declaring to one another, maybe today Messiah will come. Maybe today is the day when we will see the Savior. And in the same way, whenever you walk in the doors of this sanctuary, God wants you to expect this might be a day when you have a life-changing meeting with Jesus. You come in out of the parking lot and it's all you can do not to run because you think, maybe today God is going to say something to me. Maybe you come into the service and you think, you know, I'm not sure whether I know Jesus or not. I know that I believe in God and I know that I think church is good for you, but I don't know that I know Jesus, but maybe today I will encounter him for myself and I will be forever transformed. Maybe you come in today and you think, it might be today when God's going to tell me what he wants me to do. Maybe before a service is over, you're going to hear a call and it's going to transform your life. It might be a call to ministry. What I really want you to do is serve me through my church. I want you to be the one who becomes a messenger to the folks around you, to the nations around the world. Maybe God places a missions call on your life and begins to say to you, you know what? My feet are here, but my heart is somewhere else in the world because God is calling me to that place. You might be tempted to think, but that only happens when you're young. But that's not true. This past fall, when we were doing our Triple L Vacation Bible School, our 55 plus folks, we looked at the lives of people like Abraham and Moses and Nicodemus, because God called them in the latter years of their life to be faithful. What if that's you? What if that's you and you're 8, almost 9, like Brynn? What if you're a student at Samford University? What if your children are grown and they're not at the house anymore? Maybe today God has a word to speak to you. Maybe God's placing a call on your life. How can you be ready for that to happen? Well, you have to come to worship with a holy expectation. Paul said that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. He had a passionate hunger that only Christ could fill. How can you have that kind of experience when worship works? Well, I can promise you this. You have to be waiting for God to speak. You know, every Sunday when you come to church, those of us who serve and lead are committed to doing everything we can to provide that kind of encounter with Jesus. Sunday school teachers have prepared through the week, getting ready to teach God's Word. In worship time, as we sing and as we pray, we have prepared and our choir is ready and Jeff is leading us and we're ready for what God wants to say. In the proclamation of the Word, we try to have a chance for you to meet and know the Lord. We've done what we can to offer everybody a life-changing encounter with Jesus. When I write and rewrite and rewrite yet again that message, I don't do it because I want to be folks to look at one another and think about me and say, he is so smart. Hasn't happened yet, but it could one day. What I want to happen is for folks to say, God used that and he spoke to me. When you said that, that was exactly what I needed to hear. But you know what? We can try and we can work and we can prepare as much as we want to. But we can't make anything happen. That comes from expecting God to speak. One thing can be true of a world-class chef. He can prepare the most beautiful meals you can imagine, but if people are not hungry, they're not going to eat. Come to church hungry. Come to worship hungry to hear from the Lord. You have to come with a passionate desire for Christ and only Christ. And then you will find Him as you worship. But Paul's not finished yet. He also says this. He says, worship and experience His power, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. When you worship, expect God to do something transforming in your life. When you're actively abiding in Christ, it means living with an attitude of anticipation. God is going to do something. I am going to see His power at work in my life. One missionary wrote in his journal long ago, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. That's exactly what it means to experience the power of God. Paul wrote he wanted to experience the Lord's resurrection power. What is that? Well, very simply, resurrection power is the thing that makes lifeless things lifeless things come to life. It takes something that cannot do and makes it able to do. It happens when you're saved. God takes a soul that was lifeless, separated from God, without God and without hope in the world, and makes it a transformed human being with an eternal hope. It happens every time you surrender something in your life to Christ. Lord, I'm going to surrender this to you. You do what you want to with me and through me. It happens when God compels you to follow His call in your life. Resurrection power reveals itself when the only explanation for something is Jesus. I don't know how that could have happened. I don't know how God could have used me. I don't know how that could have made such a difference, except the Lord did it. And that's the only way I know to explain it. Here's a spiritual principle to hold on to. Anything in your life that keeps you separated from Christ is dead. Period. Everything in your life that keeps you separated is dead. As long as you tell yourself, I have it under control. I can handle it. I don't need the Lord's help. There'll be no resurrection power. You don't need it. You're satisfied with dead things that you can do all alone, apart from Him. But when you actively invite Christ to take control, then you experience resurrection power. When you say, as someone who does not know Jesus, today I trust you, today I surrender to you, I invite you to be my Savior, I invite you to be my Lord, resurrection power. As a believer, when you realize, Lord, for too long now, I've been depending upon myself. I've been doing things the way I wanted to do things. I've been trying to satisfy my own desires. It's really been all about me. Now, I acknowledge you, but I don't really depend on you. There's a need for resurrection power. Resurrection power will force you to make an either-or decision between God's plan and your plan. You know, one of the things that can hold us back from the power of God going to work in our lives is we don't want to make either-or decisions. We don't want to say, Lord, either your way or my way. What do we want to say? Lord, both and. I want both to know you and to do things my own way. But you just can't do that. Resurrection power says, Lord, if it comes down to either-or, I choose you. And when you let worship work, that's what happens when you come to worship. You remember who He is and who you are. You surrender because He alone is worthy. And you open your life up to resurrection power. God, do in me what I cannot do apart from you. And then Paul says, worship and let Him meet you at your point of need. He continued on to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Sometimes you don't get out of the church on Sunday morning ready to rush into the service. Sometimes it's all you can do to put one foot in front of the other because things are going on in your life that have really been discouraging or tragic or fearful. And the truth is, you come in and you're thinking, I need a word from the Lord. Not so I can get up and run, but so I can put one foot in front of the other. Because right now, I'm struggling. So, what should the preacher tell you to do? Should I tell you, well, if you feel that way, just go on home and come back later when you feel better? Or do I need to hear from the Lord? You know, the problem is, sometimes when we come to worship, we think we have to put on our happy church face. You know what I mean? All is well, everything's good, it's all going my way. Sometimes you can be tempted to believe you're the only one that's struggling or hurting or disappointed or afraid. If the people around me knew how I'm really feeling, they wouldn't be coming up to me during greeting time in church. They'd be keeping their distance because, after all, I'm hurting. But in real worship, you find out that God meets you when you're at your best, but He draws even closer when you're struggling. God is glad to see you in worship when it's all going your way. But when you come, recognizing, I need you, you find out that He is so glad that you are with Him. You have a heart-to-heart encounter with Jesus, the one who said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you recognize that sometimes experiencing the power of God in worship is just realizing, here's the one who knows me and understands me. And He has seen me fall, and He has seen me fail, and He knows what's going on wrong in my life right now. And He says, welcome. Welcome. Some years ago, I was talking with a church member in a former church. They were really struggling with the mistakes and failures of one of the close members of their family. So disappointed. So angry. How could they do something like this? How could they hurt our family like this? What am I supposed to do when somebody's let you down the way they have let me down? And you know what I told them? I said, you know what? You're in a place and an opportunity to be the face of Jesus in this family member's life. I said, here's the decision you've got to make in a time like this. Are you going to be Jesus doing this? Stay away. Keep your distance. I am so disappointed in you. Are you going to be Jesus saying this? You come. There's a place for you. I will never turn away. Because that's what it means to experience the fellowship of His suffering. It means when you're hurting, He's right there beside you. And He's not going anywhere. And you will always find a welcome in the presence of Jesus. When you need Him most, you find out that your heart is most open to Christ. You know, one of the things I have discovered over the years is that sometimes when people have the deepest encounters they have with Jesus, it's in the toughest seasons of life. It's not when everything was going my way and I was so happy and the sun was shining and the birds were singing. It was when I've had the worst news I could imagine. When I have been through one of the toughest seasons of my life, then all of a sudden I discovered He was there. And you experience His presence. And He uses His people to encourage you. And His Word gives you reassurance that God will take care of you. And His Holy Spirit speaks to you in the depths of your heart. He is here. He cares for you. We know Him and the power of His resurrection. But the fellowship of His suffering, that may be the deepest experience of the love of Jesus that you're ever going to know. When He is there for you. What's Paul saying to us? If I could sum it all up in just one key principle, this is what I would say. Never forget that the power of worship is the power to bring you into the presence of Jesus. And that's why we come. We come Because we love one another. We come because we like what's going on in the service. But most of all, we come because this is where you come to meet Jesus in the midst of worship. So I guess that's my question to you this morning. Do you need to come to Jesus today? Maybe you are here and you're not a believer. You've never trusted Christ as Savior, but you want to. Just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. That's your opportunity to just come. I'm going to be right here, and you just come to me and say, today, God wants me to be a Christian. Maybe you're here today, and you're dealing with a particular issue, and you just need somebody to pray with you about it. And you might want to come and just say, can you take a minute and pray with me? This is where I'm hurting. Maybe God is calling you in a way that you've never experienced before, but you know it's time to say yes. And today you just need to stand before a congregation and say, I know what God wants me to do, and today I say yes. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand.